Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. Today we're discussing the question, how should I use discernment in giving to the poor? And this is how it was originally put by somebody at Providence. It says, given the multiple scripture admonitions to care for the poor, listen to their cries, etc., and filtering that through the commands for being good stewards of what God gives us, how should we respond to beggars on the street, at exit ramps, etc.? Do we give, taking their plight at face value and let God sort it out? Or do we focus our giving on organizations that we know will use the money wisely?
Yeah, I have gotten this question from folks numerous times, so I think this will be a good one to ask. I'm glad we got this as an official question, because I think it'll be helpful.
Oh yeah, I agree. I'm looking forward to this one. Yeah. Is Matthew 25:31-46 a good passage to use regarding helping the poor?
Now that sounds like a softball question.
Yeah, slow pitch.
I like to clarify misused Bible passages when I can, so let's do that briefly here. Matthew 25:31-46 is a typical passage for supporting the idea of giving to the poor. So we've got the sheep and the goats that are separated. They've come before the throne on the last day. The sheep and the goats are separated. The sheep on the right, the goats on the left. And I'm going to read from verse 34, Matthew 25:34 and following. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Now the rest of the passage then goes over to the goats and kind of says the opposite to them. You didn't do all of these things, and so you're in bad trouble. This is a case of the right doctrine from the wrong passage. So yes, we want to give money to the poor. We don't want to support it with this passage, and I'll tell you why. Well, first of all, it's good to be generous to the poor and needy. That's great. That's all over the Bible. It's not good to use this passage to report that truth, because this passage is about how one blesses or mistreats the church specifically. The Lord says, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. My brothers is a moniker that Jesus reserves for the disciples. And in the context there of Matthew 25, I believe that it should be obvious to us that this is not just the poor and needy in general, but it's how people treat the disciples, the church specifically, that will determine what happens to them on the last day. I would also point to Acts 9, verses 4 and 5, where the Lord Jesus confronts Saul on the road to Damascus and says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. So the idea is that God, or Christ, because of his union with the church, takes it as an offense against him when someone harms the church. And he takes it as a blessing to him when someone blesses the church. That makes sense of Matthew 25. Christ is not in union with the rest of the world, only with the church. And so that's the only way that Matthew 25 makes sense. So yes, we want to share with the poor. We do not want to support it by appealing to Matthew 25.
Right, but we should err on the side of generosity.
Yeah, that's the big thing that we want to take away from the Bible as it pertains to this particular question. We should err on the side of generosity. So this question has two priorities in mind, the way that it was asked, okay? Being generous is one priority, but then also being a good steward and making sure that the money isn't going to be used for bad things or to hurt that person. So if I were going to prioritize those two things biblically, I'd make the first more important, okay? And here's why. Jesus had a heart for the poor without ever saying anything to the effect that, hey, you need to be really discerning about when you give to the poor, okay? So in Matthew 6, as Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray, he says, when you give to the poor, not if you give to the poor. So Jesus assumes that those who are believers are going to give to the poor. In John 13, when Jesus said to Judas, what you're going to do, do quickly. You remember this is right before Jesus is about to be arrested, or at least the night before. What you're going to do, do quickly. The other disciples could not hear what Jesus said to Judas, but they assumed that Jesus might be telling Judas to give money to the poor since Judas was the treasurer. In other words, apparently Jesus was in the habit of telling Judas, hey, give some money to the poor, which is remarkable because what did Jesus say about himself? I have no place to
lay my head.
Yeah. So Jesus is not a rich guy, but it's a priority to him even as a poor itinerant preacher to give money to the poor. I'm not aware of any instance where Jesus turned anyone away for any reason. Now, in John 6, we could say that Jesus recognized that the people there were taking advantage of him. You know, they had been fed the previous day. That was the feeding of the 5,000. They come back the next day. Well, Jesus still didn't turn them away. He just addressed their more pertinent need, which was for spiritual food. So I can't think of any time where Jesus actually turned people away who came to him in need. The heart of God for the poor and the weak is obvious all over the Old Testament. And here's a passage from Psalm 41 that I read in a message a couple of weeks ago about God's heart for the poor and the weak. It says, "Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord will deliver him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health." I mean, those verses basically are saying that God will take care of the person who takes care of the poor and weak.
Not God will take care of those who help themselves.
Right. Yeah, yeah. How many times, I wish I had a nickel for every time
that phrase
that I've heard somebody say that, as if it comes from the Bible. I mean, people really believe that that's in the Bible.
Right.
It's not. Okay. I also heard something really helpful once. It was somebody quoting Noelle Piper, John Piper's wife. And I'm going to basically paraphrase what she said. And the idea was, I'm more concerned about facing the Lord on the last day regarding being stingy toward the needy rather than regarding giving with a lack of discernment. In other words, she believes, you know, on the last day, the Lord's probably going to care a lot more about whether or not I helped the needy than whether or not I was super, super discerning about who I gave to.
He'd probably say, didn't I tell you if you seek first the kingdom, I'll give you all these things that you need for the necessity of life?
Right, yeah. Right. So right. I think in my mind, the overall principle should be err on the side of generosity. Mm-hmm. And if you feel like you're in a situation where you're having to choose between generosity or discernment. I would err on the side of generosity. Not that we're going to throw discernment out. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying just err on the side of generosity.
Sure. Well, it's still helpful. We should use wisdom in how we give to the people.
Right. We've all seen these news stories of people who panhandle during the day and then go home to their nice suburban houses at night. Have you ever seen these news stories on this kind of thing?
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was once at an off-ramp near our old home in Franklin and saw what I could only describe as a shift change at the corner. There was a guy with a cardboard sign that said, "Wounded vet, need money, anything will help." Well, up pulls a late model vehicle. The driver gets out. The wounded vet hands him the sign. The wounded vet gets in the car and drives off, and the former driver of the car takes his place at the corner. Both of these guys, obviously able-bodied men. I mean, just like a shift change. Now, many of us have had people ask us for money on the street, and what's typically our concern?
They're going to use it for drugs or something dangerous.
Yeah, they're going to use it for drugs or something dangerous, or we may be thinking they're just being lazy. They're just taking advantage of us. So we've got those concerns on our minds. So regarding those who we're afraid that they're going to use it for drugs or something dangerous, a lot of us have offered to buy food for people. Almost inevitably, they will turn down the food and give some reason why they have to have money. And I've heard some really great stories over the years. A guy came into the church a few years ago claiming to be a real-life Jason Bourne. And I'm serious about this. Like, he's a total straight face. He said that he was a black ops operative. He needed a surgery because he'd been wounded in action. And so he had this neck brace on. He had the crutches and everything.
Sorry.
I know. Well, this is kind of funny.
He wasn't even trying to be believable.
Well, stay with me. Because
okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's okay. But he said the government wasn't going to pay for his surgery because they had disavowed knowledge of his existence. So the story was a little too out there. A year later, same guy comes in to this church with a completely different story. He's no longer Jason Bourne. Now he's got a wife and child who need surgeries.
Wow.
And I asked him about his past to Black Ops, and he had no idea what I was talking about.
He wasn't allowed to tell you what was the real thing.
Right. Well, yeah, he had amnesia or something.
Yeah.
But anybody who has been in church ministry could tell those kinds of questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's the stories.
Sure. Well, many of us have had these experiences, so we're concerned. We want to be good stewards, but we don't want to be taken. We don't want to inadvertently hurt someone by contributing to their habit. So what do we do?
Yeah. So we've got this thing of erring on the side of generosity, but then at the same time, we want to be good stewards and we don't want to hurt people. So what do we do? This will be kind of frustrating, perhaps especially for the person who asked this question originally, but there aren't any hard and fast rules.
No questions that'll uncover immediately.
Right. Now, if you were Pastor Rick Jones, one of our pastors here at Providence is a police detective, and so he knows how to be like the human lie detector thing, but most of us can't do that. So here's what I do. I'll just share with you what I do and how I've approached this, and folks can kind of take it or leave it. First of all, pray for discernment. Lord, help me to see what's true and what's not here. Second, resist giving money. Resist giving money. If they need gas, go buy them gas. If they need food, buy them some food. If they need transportation, get them a non-refundable bus ticket or something. But rarely will I give money. I have given money, but it's rare. Typically, it's gas or something else. I have given money when their story seems unusually plausible and money seems to be the only way to help. I've given money in that situation. And in those cases, I just trust the Lord. If they're taking advantage of me, in my mind, it's on them. Again, I think the Lord would be more troubled by stinginess on my part than by my not running a background check on that person before I give them some money. I've bought gas for people and it turned out to be I was taken. I mean, like people, this has happened a couple of times. People said, yeah, I just need some gas. I'll be back in 10 minutes to pay you back. Like I left my wallet at home. I'll come right back here and give you this money. Never saw him again. And that's fine. Because I'm okay getting taken. I'll just leave that with the Lord. Hebrews 13:12, should be on our minds. It's frequently on my mind when I'm interacting with one of these folks. Hebrews 13:2 reads, Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares.
That sounds like kind of Pentecostal. I think some people maybe hear that and they're like, that's that Bible verse that's not really true, right. You know?
Yeah, but that's actually in our Bible.
Yeah, yeah. It should be believed.
Right, that's the ESV.
Right.
Yeah. So I pray for discernment. Resist giving them money. Give them everything but. And then third, point them to parachurch organizations that specialize in helping people, because there are numerous places like that. In our area, if you're not in the Cincinnati area, then find out where those places are around you and just know how to tell people to get to those places, because that's exactly why they exist. If you want to be a good steward, you want to be super, super careful that you're not taken advantage of, then make donations to those kinds of parachurch organizations. Make donations to the Baptist Mission in Cincinnati or some other food pantry type organization that you know those people are good folks. They know what they're doing. The money's going to be used well. Then you can give and help. But I would say you're still going to be confronted with people on the street and here and there asking you for stuff. So you're still going to be posed with the question of, what do I do? And if you've given to those parachurch organizations, that's fantastic. Point them to those organizations. But you may still kind of have the moral quandary of, what do I do with this person standing right in front of me if they're not anywhere close to one of those places? But here's another really good thing to keep in mind. Not helping them in exactly the way that they're requesting or demanding is not the same thing as saying no. So if someone asks for help and you offer to buy them some food and they turn you down, they're the ones who have said no, not you.
Yeah.
So if they're really in need, then they should take what you're offering and understand your dilemma about not wanting to give money.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, I think it's important to note our main concern should be spiritual giving.
Yeah, absolutely. We should give the gospel. Some of us think of these opportunities strictly in terms of the material and not in terms of the spiritual. But the Lord ministered to people holistically. So the Lord's way was that he fed people, he gave money to the poor, but he gave them the good news. Matthew 11:5, Jesus sent a message to John the Baptist saying, the poor have the good news preached to them. Not the poor have been fed, not the poor have been given money, but the poor have had good news preached to them. These people who are approaching us with money problems or whatever it is, they have a way bigger problem than a lack of material resources. They need a savior. Now, we don't want to ignore their material problem. We want to meet that because it's real. But we certainly don't want to ignore their spiritual problem. And some churches have this mentality toward missions in general, that throwing money at stuff fulfills the Great Commission. So the mindset is, we give a ton of money to church plants or overseas missions, and then we can say that we're being obedient to the Great Commission, while we never say the first thing about the gospel to the people that we work with and live beside, or the people who approach us on the streets. That is not the way that Jesus did things. So we should make sure that that's not what we're doing when we give money to the poor. When we see somebody in need, we should err on the side of generosity. We should be wise in how we give, but we should understand that their main need is spiritual, and we should not allow them to go anywhere without hearing about Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, not to drag us on any longer, Greg, but some people don't like tracts, but you can get some really good tracts, and if you're not always going to have the opportunity to articulate the gospel, especially if you're like at an off-ramp or something,
right?
Have a good tract. We have some here at Providence, and fulfill their material need, and then give them a tract to read.
You were telling me about a tract the other day, and we've actually used it here for years, but can you talk about the tract that was on the app on your phone?
Yes, there's an There's an app called Two Ways to Live. It's really, you can read through it. There's an Australian guy who will read it for you, which is awesome because his accent. So it doesn't sound cheesy at all because he's Australian. But it's great to take people through. And at the end, it point blank asks this person, which way are you? Because there's two ways. And it's talking about following the Lord and versus not. And it asks them point blank, which way are you following? You ask them that.
Right.
So that's a great track, so to say, to have on your phone. It's called Two Ways to Live. It's a little orange app with a guy on the earth with a crown over his head. So check it out.
Yeah, it's very good. Now, as you said, there's some terrible tracks out there.
Yes.
I read one several years ago about Jesus wants to be your friend. Like your biggest problem is that you need a friend.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Two Ways to Live is very, very good.
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
Well, until next time.
Okay.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.